Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 28, 2021. I am in favor of being vaccinated. Question: what do you think? Is people's unwillingness to get vaccinated a manifestation of egoism, distrust of medicine, or distrust of the government? Answer: I think that it is people's distrust of what is going on around them. They feel the world, no matter what place they feel it from and in what way, as hostile. This is because of the government or because of healthcare or for whatever reason. After all, everything has been bought and is under the control of circles that think only of themselves, of their own benefit. It turns out that it is going to harm me. Either they need to reduce the population or to suppress people. Today a person does not believe in anything. He sees that nothing is being done for his benefit. Therefore, naturally, no one agrees to just go and expose themselves to vaccinations, which, by the way, are not such a clear thing either. Where did they come from? What am I being injected with? How will this affect me, my genes, my offspring, and everything? Maybe we are just infecting each other, and as a result, we will get an environment in which viruses living in us will determine everything, right down to our consciousness. There is certain logic in this. But I do not hold on to that. I believe we need to get vaccinated. From Cab TV's Conversations, November 1, 2021. New Life 1324. About consumerism and internal property.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about how to consume properly. Let's talk about balanced consumerism, something that we're not really familiar with, but we'll try and learn about a few more principles on our way to a better life. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, so consumerism is a central part of our life nowadays. It's obvious that we buy much more than we all need. Even during the corona, that was a time of economic uncertainty, we consumed a lot, much more than we consumed before the corona, turns out, compensating for the kind of bad times that we had. And turns out that shopping gives us many different kinds of pleasure. Now, first of all, there's great excitement. It's a kind of, you know, it's time of leisure. It's like to hang out. Also gives us many little moments of pleasure. Obviously, it's not lasting pleasure, but, you know, small points of pleasure, things that you also need in life. It also compensates for days that aren't that good, less happy times. It calms us down. People say that even if they look and search the internet, even if they don't buy eventually, there's something soothing about this entire process. It also, you know, on the internet also you can't fail. You always feel that you've succeeded, even if later on you never used what you bought and you found out that you bought something really silly. The moment you purchase that thing, you feel a sense of success, that you find what you wanted, and you know, it's a great feeling. This is in addition to status symbols, and you feel that you're successful if you've achieved a certain product from a certain status. And it gives us lots of different sorts of pleasure, shopping. And recently, as the internet, we buy a lot on the internet, and there's, in addition, something, there's a kind of excitement when you buy on the internet. You buy something, you get a package. delivered to you. First of all, you don't know what you're going to get. So there's a kind of excitement when you open it up. Also, waiting for the package is exciting. This from talking to people, from what they've experienced, from the research that we had, the articles, et cetera, et cetera. This is what people explain about the experience of shopping. And we'd like to start with the question of, as a Kabbalist, who sees things much more broadly, reality much more broadly than we do, how do you see the pleasures that a person has from these purchases? What basic need does it answer? A person is all in all the will to receive, the will to purchase, acquire, and therefore, when he doesn't feel that he has something, and especially that he has something new, then he has a kind of negative feeling. It's like we see on children. When we take kids to some shop and we see that they're running around, I want this, I want that. He doesn't really think so deeply about what he wants, but whatever he sees, he grabs as though this is what he needs, otherwise the sky will fall. And this actually tells us about the kind of desire that we have. Purchasing is something very basic that a person wants what he needs for the will to receive. And the will to receive is our basic nature, that there's nothing more important. The more we grow up, the more we mature, the more we understand what's worthwhile, what's not, what can we allow ourselves, what can't we, can we purchase one thing or another or not, and we become more meticulous, choosy, picky, but still we remain with the same desire. This is really how people describe it. They say that he feels like a child at a candy store, that you like go back to the childhood experience. Even if you're a grown-up, it brings you back to a very childish place, so to speak, a place from childhood, something warm, nice. Right, so if we want to arrange these things properly, then sure, we should work on explaining to a person and building in him according to his inner needs how to correctly relate to shopping. To write in advance, what do I need, and not more. To limit yourself that and take more than what I determine before I see the different, you know, sparkling, glamorous things in a shop. That I always look at ads or whatever that is for me to understand that this is something that they want to sell to me, and they don't take my situation into consideration, but only their pocket. What do they gain as a result of my purchase? And therefore the balance between wanting to buy and needing to buy needs to be pretty clear. And it's a problem for children, for grown-ups, you know, advertisement is very strong. There are researches, in short, we work on it. Should there be such a strong emotion? On the basic level, should there be such a strong connection, emotional connection between shopping and our emotions, or is it a distortion? There are people that feel that if they don't buy something, then the day is lost. And is it something natural or a distortion of our times? It depends on how I allow myself, how I listen to what's said, what society am I in. It all depends on the environment. Consumerism is something very natural. Eventually, you don't grow your own vegetables, and you don't bake your own bread, and make your own clothes, but you do need to purchase, you need to buy. The question is whether the place we're in today, in terms of our excessive consumerism, is something natural or is it a kind of distortion? How do you see the situation nowadays? I think that what is going on today is that we're simply walking with our eyes shut. We're following publicity. And we're not that aware of what we need, what we're lacking, but we're included in what they want to sell us. You know, it's artistry. It's an entire profession of not that you buy what you want, but that you buy what I want to sell you. What is healthy consumerism, a balanced kind of consumerism? Healthy and balanced consumerism is that first and foremost, the person knows what does he need for life and how to achieve it in the best possible way. What's the right thing to buy or not? I move away from all publicity. I protect myself from being under a publicity attack. And in advance, I create a basket that's necessary for me, for my family, and this is what I'm concerned with. So it means that I need to restrict myself. No, it's not called to restrict yourself. It means not to be stingy, but to correctly save on things because I really want to achieve things that I'm lacking and not things that are lacking to that person who's selling whatever that is to me. Do we buy because of an inner deficiency or because of publicity ads, etc.? Dr. Lightman, both. If there was no publicity, we would not have a special attitude toward shopping because it seems like it's sitting on a certain lack. Why do we feel such great pleasure when we buy, when we consume? It's a matter of habit. First of all, another thing is that I respect myself if I achieve something, if I buy something. It seems to me that I'm respected by others if I buy something special. And this is how we feel our status in society, according to what we buy. Previously talked about innovation, buying something new all the time. Why is it so important for us to have new things all the time? What does it give us? It is our general will to receive, that the more it receives, the more it enjoys, even though that it'll pass in a moment. A moment later, I have no idea what did I buy it for. But this is what our nature is demanding of us. I want to tell you about Chagit. Chagit, she really likes cooking and inviting guests. The kitchen is the center of her life, so to speak. Today, you know, they build kitchens in the center of the living room. So she really likes cooking and inviting people and hosting. And this is her real hobby. She goes in the morning to work, but her life is in the kitchen, cooking, baking, everyone enjoys it. Everyone likes coming to Hagit's place. And in order to make things easier for her, she likes buying different gadgets, special tools, knives, things that save time and effort. There are shops that are specific for that. Her kitchen is already full of these special gadgets. And today you can buy all these things on the internet. Her husband thinks that she's exaggerating. He says that she buys lots of things for the kitchen, and he thinks that, and it's very costly, and he thinks that it's possible to get along with a bit less, and, you know, the potato won't be cut so pretty. Why are we bringing this up? Because this is consumerism. Her husband claims that she consumes in an unbalanced way. How do you find the middle line that what the one sees and what the other sees will coincide, will come to some balance, something balanced? What could you recommend? I had a friend at work. He, every month, used to buy some kind of gadget, something, some drill, some tool, things for your home, tools for the house. It was his real hobby. And sometimes he'd buy such things that when will he ever need it? And I don't think he needed it. But he liked having at home such and such and such drills and keys and tools. Now for plumbing, for different kind of repairs. And for him, this was great pleasure. He always used to say, what kind of tools he bought that month. Well, it wasn't like today with the internet. It was 40 years ago, suppose. And back then, he was managed to buy this and buy that. The same with Hagit, only with kitchenware. At least with the kitchenware, I think that these are things that she more uses than he used his tools. And here, it's a person who was simply, he loved these things. He loved tools, work tools. So who's right, Hagit or her husband? What is the balanced line in consumerism? Maybe they should sit together and say that you have such and such, you have, suppose, I don't know, 200-300 shekels every month, or I don't know how much, but you decide on it, that you can spend on kitchenware. What you think is necessary, or not only for kitchenware, it's for this, for clothes, this for children. That's how you need to do it in advance. Okay, now let's talk about Hagit emotionally, because eventually we're not talking about money. We're having here a deep emotional conversation. Hagit feels that she needs to buy it, and when she buys it, it makes her feel good. Now Hagit is also aware of it. What does she do with the unsatisfied desires in her? She wants to buy tools for the kitchen. Why? It makes her feel good. So it limits her because she has no choice. It's a budget. You're on a budget, and you know what it means to be on a budget and how to build it properly and realize it. So here, we need to arrange it. What kind of inner compensation will Hagit have? She wanted this, and, you know, the budget's already gone. But the Minister of Economics, he doesn't have, the Minister of Treasury, he doesn't have, you know, infinite resources. Everyone takes into consideration, works with what they have. Only kids can't do it. But actually, it's necessary to arrange what you need and what you want and what you really can afford. Does a person need to arrange these things? Of course. How are we supposed to live on Earth without knowing how much can we or can't we consume from natural resources, air, water, etc.? How do we really know? Now, let's not talk about Chagid in our kitchen, but, you know, more basic things. So you see what we came to with air pollution and natural resources and everything. It's a problem that we don't know how to stop ourselves from using our will to receive, our ego, our desire to fulfill ourselves, so we don't know how to get along. Everyone needs to sit on the study bench and see how do we learn how to correctly relate to life. We're getting a question from Tali about Chagid's kitchenware. It's not a matter of budget. Even if we buy for small sums of money, it makes us feel good. The main thing is to buy and buy. What do you do about that? How do you balance that out? There's like this engine that keeps working all the time. I once gave a series of lectures in Las Vegas. And they rented an apartment for me, and I used to pass by the first floor where you have all the games, you know, the betting games, and I saw people enjoying life, glued those machines, slot machines, etc. Right, that's how people today enjoy buying. But I tried doing it myself. I asked, what are the cheapest machines here? They said, 10 cents, please. There's a special room there. There you can sit, and really, there was no one there, no one, just me. And so I played to check what that is. Then I got tired. You know, pulling that arm. Oh, how is this related to shopping? Because it's a kind of fulfillment that a person needs to receive. And afterwards, I saw that it's not the same. If I play for 10 cents, or I play for a dollar, it's something else. Meaning it's a problem that when we buy, we can't be satisfied with something small. It needs to be something that you can feel in your hand, weigh it somehow. And therefore, it has certain weight, so to speak. And so I don't think that buying small things can fulfill a person. He also needs to feel the value of the purchase. How to deal with the emotional need to buy? Look, I don't have something like that, so it's hard to say. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, but it doesn't seem to me like, I don't feel that it's important. I can not buy anything for years because I'm engaged in different things. Were we able to reach a state that we fulfill people with more exalted goals, that it is impossible to buy them with money, but with exertion, with connection, then it would have been something else. So it's a kind of emptiness, all this shopping. Yeah. It is a result of shopping. It is a result of emptiness. Suppose we're already grown-ups, it's harder. Let's turn to the young generation. If I want to teach my family or my kids or our viewers correct consumerism, no one teaches you that in school nowadays. What are the principles? What? It's necessary to think for a long period of time if someone wants to. If someone feels that it's necessary to think a lot before I go and buy something. What do I really need? And how do I buy and enjoy, really enjoy, and not that I bring it home and I put it in some corner until it's filled with dust and I throw it away? How to fulfill yourself with greater, more exalted goals. That's according to the importance that I give it. Exalted is in terms of the importance of a thing and not that it's more expensive. Previously I said that it's possible to fill this emptiness if we'll reach a state where people will have more exalted goals that you can't buy by money. So give me an example for such goals. Suppose with children's education, how do we direct them to get these things? What do I tell my child, for example? My friend, my girl at school, she sees that everyone has this and this, and she wants for us to buy her that and that too. How can I lift my daughter from shopping just a bit, raise her a bit above that? It all depends on the importance of things. Nowadays, it's not easy. No, not that it's not easy, but you need to educate in advance, teach them, work with the children in advance so that they'll know what's important in life. What's important in life? Your inner property, your inner needs. I'm not buying some washing machine and I shove it inside, or other things for the home and I swallow them. I swallow the pleasure that I have from the purchase. So can I get that pleasure from things that I don't need to pay for? Like what? Books that I read, things that I see. There are plenty of things. So as a part of the education, it's to decrease the importance of material things and to increase the importance of the inner assets. That's great. And what should you teach your children about it? You have to show them an example. You have to give them examples. Next to me, there is a club. How do you call that game? A club?
The bridge?
Bridge club. Next to where I live, there's a bridge club. And I see how they come there in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, different people, usually they're. Usually they're already in their 60s and on, and they don't go shopping, they don't go anywhere, they play this game and they feel that it fulfills them. Does this give them inner property assets, and what does it include? Look, games in general, sports, games, friendship, things like that, that are unrelated to purchasing a specific product. Of course, they fill a person more. You said in the beginning that a person has the desire to receive, to purchase. He feels that he has something new. This inner need, will it give an answer to receiving something new? What new things can you get here?
We're living off our impressions, off our sensations, off a feeling of fulfillment. If I am in an inner relationship with someone and we fill each other with conversation, we acquire the knowledge, the mind, we're fulfilled with, I don't know, maybe video clips, maybe music, maybe something. I don't need to pay for something that I need to buy and bring home, some kind of object. Unfortunately, our time's up. I have plenty of questions, but maybe we can conclude. What is correct or healthy consumerism? Healthy consumerism is that you have pity on the square meters you have in your flat and do not fill them with things that become junk and that there's no need for them. And you try every time to raise your demand to more and more essential spiritual things to purchase them, not that you need to pay someone. It's not even about money, but you want to acquire something that's more exalted. It turns you into what? It elevates you to different levels of your demand toward life. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Good luck. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
A desire directed toward the Creator. Question: what does the land of Israel mean? Answer: the land of Israel in Hebrew is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz, from the word desire, ratzon. That is, the concept of land has nothing to do with soil or the land on which we stand, it means desire. Israel, Israel, is Yasharel, aspiring toward the Creator. Therefore, the desire of any person or group of people striving toward the Creator, toward similarity and connection with Him, is called the desire directed toward Him, or Eretz Yisrael. From CapTV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, September 13, 2021. What is a person's choice? Question: can you describe the state or some conditions in which a person is free and can choose? After all, if we are in our egoistic nature, then any choice is out of the question. But the fact is that in the altruistic nature of the Creator, we also have no choice. Then what is a person's choice? Answer: in the thing that the one chooses between this and that, when one knows what is good in the eyes of the Creator, in the eyes of the absolute law of the universe. And this is rapprochement, mutual assistance, connection, right up to love. Love is a selfless connection for the sake of others. Then we will have nothing to be afraid of, we cannot do anything wrong and we will move as quickly as possible, the shortest path toward our best state, complete correction. From CapTV's Spiritual States, October 26, 2021. Do stars affect our destiny? Question: do stars affect our destiny? If so, is it worth studying astrology or cosmology to somehow influence it? Answer: there is no point. It is written, you shall not act on the basis of omens or lucky hours. We need to have a correct attitude to our lives. Apart from getting closer to other people, apart from learning to behave correctly with each other according to spiritual laws, which are the laws of connection, love, and friendship, nothing will help us. To improve our destiny, avoid world war, or get closer to a good future. Question: if we live in a volume called nature, the universe, then is it not logical that the stars affect our body, our thinking? After all, we are created from the same matter, from atoms. Answer: the fact is that a person has a soul. It is said that this is a part of the Creator above, which is within us. It is not subject to any changes and metamorphoses, to anything that happens in our world. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, October 26, 2021. Michael Leitman, on Quora: are there intelligent life forms other than us? Besides the still, vegetative, animate and human levels of nature, there is nothing else in the universe. No matter how much we seek other life forms, we will nevertheless discover nothing outside of these four levels. The human degree is the highest life form because it holds the ability to exit the corporeal world and enter into the higher spiritual and eternal world, a completely different level of existence beyond the universe as we know it. As large as our universe seems, it is in fact a very tiny and limited place. It emerged from a tiny spark that broke through from a higher degree of existence, called a higher world in Kabbalah. We know this event as the Big Bang, a starting point for the construction of life forms and the existence we now have. It is important for us to note that everything existing in our universe, including us, everything on our planet, and all the stars and galaxies, are merely the outcome of a tiny speck of light that came from a higher degree of existence. We perceive a vast and endless expansiveness in the universe, with tremendous distances and an immense picture because of how we are created. However, when we look at it from a different point of view, we see it all as something very small and limited, and there is nothing special about it but the ability for the small tiny living creatures in that small circle to come out of it, to rise above that circle and exist on a higher level. Our universe and everything in it exist on the lowest degree of reality, and by rising above this degree, we discover much bigger and more expansive degrees. We can rise through more and more degrees that exist in reality up to the final perfect and eternal degree. However, we do not need to reach that final degree in order to see that the universe as we currently perceive it, with the still, vegetative, animate and human levels of nature contained in it, stems to us from a higher degree of reality, creating all life forms in our universe and on our planet. There are no other places or degrees from which to emanate for any life forms, but solely from that higher degree. Based on Ask the Kabbalist episode 12 with Kabbalist Drive Michael Leitman and Joseph Asaf Ohayon. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. You can't wish for a better state. Question: on the one hand, existence from existence is the creator with the absolute quality of bestowal. But I cannot work with this force directly. I have no tools to tune into him, so I have to work with my neighbor. If I want to acquire the quality of the Creator, then should I try to bestow upon my neighbor? And what does to bestow mean? Answer: teach them to be similar to the Creator. If you teach your neighbor this, then you put the other in the best possible state. Nothing else can be. Doing good to another person means to help the one to reveal the Creator. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, October 19, 2021.